Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues. Commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.
Jeff?
Here.
Mark?
Here.
Brandy?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Here.
Eric?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a full assembly today with Member Waldinger calling in. It's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, item three on this evening's agenda is approval of minutes, and that's for the meeting February 26, 2018. I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Morrell to approve the meeting minutes from February 26, 2018. If there's no changes, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, those minutes are approved. I'm moving on to item four, and that's amendment and approval of the meeting agenda as presented to us this evening. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Mr. Mayor?
Member Mucci.
Yeah, I'd like to make an amendment to the motion for the meeting agenda. I'd just like to have it can be under council discussion items or whatever, but I'm trying to sort out who owns the playground equipment up at the Clinkett Haida subdivision, and if it's on the borough land or Clinkett Haida land. I've had a bunch of requests over the last several months, and I just wanted to get it up on the agenda just to kind of just a brief chat about it.
Okay, so maybe Mr. Hagerman or someone in. Okay, so we'll put it under assembly discussion. So,
yep.
Debbie, could you remind me when we get there?
Yes, but we need a second to make
second.
That amendment.
Second,
please,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion's been seconded to approve the meeting agenda as presented, and we have an addition, and I think we could just move forward with that from Member Mucci and to talk about the playground. So we'll add that under assembly discussion. Okay, all those in favor of approving it as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We'll move forward with the amended agenda. Next item on the agenda is item five, and that's a public hearing. And it's a public hearing for ordinance 2018-11, and that's an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2018 budget for known changes. Now is the time to testify under this public hearing if there's anybody in the audience that's interested. Okay, seeing no interest in partaking in the public hearing, that public hearing is closed. There are no bid awards under item six. And now it's item seven, and this is visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. And this is the time for anybody in the audience to speak to items that are on the agenda during the time of the meeting tonight. So if you would like to speak, please raise your hand from the podium, state your name, who you represent, and you have 5 minutes. I got you. Forward. Okay, thank you, Jay.
Okay, I'd like to. My name is David Beebe. I'm representing myself, and I would like to try once again to play this news report.
Waste, mismanagement, and a possible attempt to cover it up. For months, Kalamazoo investigator Rebecca Collette has been following up on a tip about a problem with logging practices in the Francis Marion National Forest, a problem that could cost the state for the next 50 years. We've uncovered reports that show problem employees and lack of oversight led to thousands of trees being illegally cut from the forest and the loss of untold amounts of money. Here's Rebecca with more on this investigation.
Good evening. What I learned through my investigation, staff falsified reports, skipped inspections, and took a hands-off approach, leading to literally tons of trees being cut down and removed from the forest illegally. And there's no telling how much money the state missed out on.
You've heard the saying, money doesn't grow on trees. But in South Carolina, trees are big business. Forestry is one of the largest industries in the state. When trees...
Okay. Well, as the News 2 report documented, it took 8 years before the incidents of the Francis Marion National Forest were dealt with by the Forest Service. And as peer documented in their white paper, Stealing the Tongass, I have provided for the assembly a list of excerpts just to cut to the quick here. And, of course, it's a white paper drawn directly from the work of a U.S. Forest Service law enforcement personnel, some of whom are special agents and investigators who served on the Timber Theft Task Force. These professionals collectively represent more than a century of Forest Service law enforcement experience. There were widespread complaints from line officers. And the allegations and subsequent investigation revolve around three major issues: timber theft and environmental violations, scaling fraud, log export violations. And in regards to the timber theft investigations, the Forest Service chief at the time, Chief Jack Ward Thomas, promised... personally, gave assurances that the timber theft investigation branch would remain in place, and 1 month later ordered immediate abolition of the Tongass timber investigation branch, the timber theft investigation branch, and reassignment of the personnel. At the time, the forest supervisor was Michael Lund, who attempted to alert the presence of, quote, irrefutable evidence of multiple Tongass Timber Reform Act violations. The Timber Theft Investigation Branch subsequently obtained witness testimony to find that there were systematic violations of environmental laws, including the destruction of 30 to 40 eagle nests, et cetera, et cetera. I'm trying to cut to the quick here to remain within my time. So what's interesting here is what you're seeing here. If you're familiar with the issues of the Washington Office Activity Review findings of 2016, it raises strikingly similar issues. Whether it's the failure to adequately deal with what is referred to as utility logs, and essentially bringing the terms of the contract to the forefront, so we have an opportunity to understand whether or not the National Environmental Policy Act prescriptions were actually conducted. And of course, we know that several of the Forest Service documents that are specific to prevention of timber theft could not be produced for the investigation team, the 10-member investigation team of the Washington office. Keep in mind that the Washington office review was never really meant for public dissemination. And the one thing that I find striking about it is the fact that it's almost like getting a speeding ticket and having the policeman say that, well, I understand you had this trouble you were going too fast, but because you were going downhill or whatever.
Mr. Beebe, that's been about 5.5 minutes.
Okay,
so can you please wrap it up?
Okay. Well, thank you for this opportunity to bring this issue. And all I'm really asking for is that we understand that there is a strong, well-established history of timber theft on the Tongass, and by all appearances, this could also be happening currently. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you for your testimony. is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak to visitors' views related to items on today's agenda? Please step forward and state your name and who you represent.
Hi, my name is Becky Knight, and I represent myself today. I'm here to speak about the resolution to the discussed later on tonight. Due to revelations disclosed during KFSK's borough business meeting today, which actually make this much easier, is a revised resolution that I think was provided to you earlier as an order, and if it not, I can provide it to you as well. The revised resolution continues to request the Agriculture Department's Inspector General to conduct a forensic audit of the Tonka and Big Thorn timber sales and integrated resource timber contract, IRTC for short. It's a big mouthful. The change would be to restore payment, quote, restore payment of funds that affect communities restore payment of funds that the affected communities should have benefited from, and the associated whereases with that. I remain hopeful that your body will find the resolution, the revised resolution, and to be in our local public's best interest, both financially and ecologically. The resolution is prompted by the findings of serious maladministration disclosed in the 2016 Forest Service's Washington Office Activity Review for those timber sales. The review's formal findings speak for themselves. Because logging prescriptions were not being followed, sale value based upon what actually occurred on the ground was underrepresented and resulted in, quote, reduction in sale value exceeding $1.7 million for the Big Thorn timber. Moreover, the associated Tonka post-monitoring review disclosed the cost of, quote, not inspecting and not following the contract prescription was close to $2 million more than double the original stumpage. Those findings have not changed despite claims by industry representatives today to discredit the resolution in whole cloth when only one part was inaccurate. The activity review's findings disclose maladministration of integrated resource timber contract stewardship funds that would have otherwise been collected to fund local restoration, community projects, and forward stewardship. That is, jobs and income to local communities. The maladministration took the form of high grading, failure to enforce measures to prevent timber theft, and faulty appraisals, among just a few examples. And just before I left, my son said to me, well, Imam, you should provide the cliff notes, so I'm not going to bore you with all of this, or maybe I will bore you with all of this after this part, but here's the cliff notes. The loss of local benefit is still there. Stewardship sales are a promise to spend timber sale receipts for local benefit. Taxpayers funded the sale to achieve a local benefit. Not cutting the prescription for the unit, or the timber sale in particular, not following the contract cost the community $2 million worth of work and opportunity. Put it another way, if the Forest Service had appraised what they actually did on the ground, Tonka would have been worth $3 million instead of $1 million. And they probably would have spent the bulk of the extra $2 million on local Petersburg or at least Kuprinov projects. That's the cliff notes. Moreover, despite the review's recommendation for an independent review to inform solutions and prevent similar issues in future timber sale and stewardship contracts, it has instead been met with inaction by the agency in the nearly 2 years since the review was completed. Favoring the more valuable species to log, like spruce, red cedar, and yellow cedar, identified in the activity review and known as high grading, is a practice that has been highly controversial on the Tongass for decades. It is in direct violation of the Tongass Timber Reform Act, the National Environmental Policy Act, and contract terms. So what's the big deal? It harms the composition, structure, and function of a stand. It diminishes its biodiversity and is detrimental to winter habitat, such as for deer. Spruce trees often have larger crowns, which are better at intercepting snow, and they are also one of the few species documented to reach 300 feet tall. And they are far more valuable than western hemlock. Ecological damage from not meeting the logging prescriptions, whether on a unit or landscape scale as described in the activity review results in long-term losses to growth and yield of these timber stands and timber stand conditions. It also does not square with public expectations of sound resource stewardship, especially when the hard work, and I say very hard work, on behalf of the public in developing public documents that approve the sales are far different from what is actually going on the ground. Finally, the price for timber is supposed to be a fair market value with a minimum price set by appraisal. This also entails the cost of accomplishing tasks that the contract requires, such as removing low-value species for silviculture.
Excuse me, Mrs. Knight, that's been about 5.5 minutes.
Okay. I would just like to close by saying we have the Central Tongass landscape level analysis in planning, scheduled for 150 million board feet, and there's absolutely no assurance that the problems identified in the activity review will be rectified for that those two processes, the Prince of Wales and the Central Tongass. And those need to be to be changed. And I hope you forward the amended resolution on for a vote at the next council meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else in the audience who'd like to speak? Eric or Dave, whoever wants to. You guys pick. Please state your name, who you represent, and you'll have 5 minutes of testimony.
Well, my name is Eric Lee, and I strongly support this resolution. It just requests an inquiry. I don't see how anyone could possibly be against this. There's a lot of money involved here, a lot of very valuable habitat that the community depends on for hunting, fishing, tourism, commercial fishing, sport fishing, big game hunting. Our community is very dependent upon the timber that's, especially what's up on the chopping block, as Becky mentioned in the tail end of her comments there. There's a lot of timber involved there, a lot of money involved. And with our community facing economic hard times, well, we cannot afford to look into the allegations like this. It's absolutely essential that we look into this and see what becomes of it. But it certainly sounds like there's a valid case for looking into it and rectifying if there's been a problem, because all the timber that's coming up in the next round of timber sales, that would be seriously affected as well if there's no remediation to this allegations here. So I strongly support this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mm-hmm.
Good evening, Assembly. I'm Bill Tremblay, representing myself. I'm also speaking regarding the resolution, asking pretty much to look into any kind of update on what's been going on with the Forest Service finding of after 2016, noting the problems they had with the administration and what the contractors were doing out there and such. To put things probably a little bit more in a local think, it used to be that trees were cut in a contract. The money that was gathered was put in the National Treasury, and we'd get a certain portion of that in timber receipts coming back. Under these types of contracts, these integrated resource timber contracts, that isn't the case. The case is they buy a package out there of timber to take away as well as projects to be performed, such as improving red pipes, which are pipes that don't pass water well or don't pass fish as they should, or doing some other type of timber stand improvements and the likes, doing some road maintenance, which is essential to some of our subsistence activities. If the trees are not going to get cut, then we're not going to get the money to do those projects. I guess one of the things that I'd like to follow up on is just ask the simple question of the Forest Service with these two sales: what's been accomplished? Not where did the money go, because the money's supposed to go into projects that are out there. It'd be nice to first of all find out if the work that was set out was accomplished. It's interesting when I take a look at when this first came out, there was something posted on our public radio back in 2017. talking about this. We had an organization that just was putting this out there as an issue, and what was striking to me was the response from the Alaska Forest Association Executive Director, Owen Graham. He was quoted as saying, what they seem to be saying is the Forest Service should have forced them to log more hemlock trees, more lower value trees. That would have got them a lot more stumpage. That doesn't make any sense. If you harvest low value trees, you get less stumpage because the trees are worth less. Well, those hemlock trees were in the appraisal. They were required to come out as a part of the contract because they had some silvicultural prescriptions as to why it was reasonable to have those trees taken out. Keep in mind that this was a scaled sale. In a scaled sale, what happens is that while they put an initial bid on, the Forest Service doesn't get the money until after the trees go through the scaling process and have been approved as coming out of the woods. Well, if you're harvesting less than 20% of the hemlock trees out there, you got 80% of the hemlock value that was in the appraisal not being realized in some of these stewardship monies that should be coming back to the communities for work. The other work that could be done is trail maintenance. That's another strong part of the stewardship that is a part of this. I mean, we have trails around here that I saw on the list. Ideal Cove is looking at being redone. Raven's Roost, I know Petersburg Creek needs to be redone. There's a lot of things that could be done with stewardship money that may be missed because this wasn't enforced. So while it's good to follow the money, I'm not so concerned with that. I think at this point, considering these are supposed to be stewardship projects, let's ask. You said these things were going to get done. Give us a note on what was accomplished and how well it was accomplished. And also talk a little bit about this non-performance issue and what you've done to resolve it. This article back in 2017 does note that the Forest Service said they addressed it, but that's it. It'd be nice to have something a little bit more formal than what exactly was done. I'm not looking at any type of measures for specific individuals, but I think overall how are they improving the contract administration with this. So anyways, I think it's to our benefit. As I said, it's when I used to sit up there, we were concerned about the timber receipts and when we get them. But now with the timber receipts are not coming to us that directly, so we need to pay attention to these other byproducts that we're getting, which are these stewardship projects. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trevely, for your testimony. Member Mucci?
Yeah, just one question, Bill. So you mentioned the Forest Service finding of 2016. So will that answer a few questions?
No, the finding was there was issues.
Okay.
What we have to follow up on is since then we're hearing that some measures may have been taken place to improve timber sale administration, accountability of the logs and the likes. But then again, too, the contract also covers specific projects that were supposed to be done. I think Tonka had like 38 red pipes that they were supposed to address. Yep. And a number of roads that were supposed to be done. Were they done? That kind of stuff.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Trump.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience with views related to items on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is item 8. Visitors' views unrelated to items on today's agenda. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to anything that's not on our agenda this evening? Seeing none. The next item on the agenda is 9, board, commission, and committee reports. There's nothing listed there. Report of other officers. There's nothing under that item. Next item is the mayor's report. Pretty short, but we're seeking letters of interest. The Petersburg Borough is seeking letters of interest from qualified borough residents to serve our community by filling one of the vacant seats listed below. Harbor and Ports Advisory Board, there's one vacant seat. Public Safety Advisory Board, there's also one seat. An appointment to either seat will be in effect until October 2018 municipal election. In addition, the Historic Preservation Commission has two vacant seats, one for an assembly member representative with a term ending 12/31/2019, one for an archaeologist or at-large member with a term ending 12/31/2020. Letters of interest may be submitted to the borough clerk via mail to Post Office Box 329 at Petersburg, 99833, or email. dthompson@petersburgak.gov, or just bringing them by the office at 12 South Nordic. This is also on the agenda later. We're going to talk about sending a letter to DNR, Municipal Land Entitlement Selection Update. Randy Guerrero, Senator Stedman's Chief of Staff, recommends Community and Economic Development Director Liz Cabrera travel to Juneau to meet with DNR to review Petersburg's selection of maps and work out issues with selectable land. So that's something we might talk about later on in the meeting as well. And Debbie gave you a copy of an invitation I received from Rear Admiral McAllister at the Coast Guard. 17th Coast Guard District requests the pleasure of your company at the Coast Guard Sector Juneau Change of Command ceremony, at which Captain Philip R. Thorne, U.S. Coast Guard, will be relieved by Captain Stephen R. White. And there's a retirement ceremony, and Captain Philip Thorne has dedicated 27 years to the Coast Guard. And I don't know if anybody recognizes the name Stephen White, but he was in Petersburg for a few years and married a gal from Petersburg and was the former captain on the Anacapa. So I would like to attend that if it's just easy to fly up and attend and come back the following day. But I'm kind of busy, so I just thought I'd run that by the assembly. And also, back up here, if it'll let me. For just a heads up, for the meeting on May 21st, I probably won't be able to attend that meeting as scheduled. I have company from out of town on that Monday, so if that works out for the rest of the assembly, we could change that date, or I just won't be able to attend. So it's up to the discretion of the assembly. Another thing that came in today from Lady Jennifer Gibbons. From Alaska Salmon Fellows. They're going to be in town from April 25th through the 30th. And Debbie emailed you this evening. It's an invitation to attend a reception at the Sons of Norway, I believe, on the evening of the 27th. Chris Norris actually suggested that they come to town. And this is the first time, I believe, this year that this group of people are meeting. And Chris was on this board last year. I think last year was the first year of it. So that's it for my mayor's report. That brings us to the manager's report, if there's no questions about the meeting on the 21st. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So do we need a motion to approve mayor's travel to Juneau?
That hasn't been protocol in the past, but if that's what the assembly wants to do, and I don't know if we've set up any other protocol, if travel out of state was required.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just trying to sort out if it's been budgeted or not.
You know, I meant to look at to see what the budget balance was, and I forgot. I apologize.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's money in there, but I could certainly look and email you all in the morning.
Yep, that'd be great.
If it came right down to it and I had time to go, I'd pay it my own way, if that's the will of the assembly.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's great that we put a positive face on the Coast Guard presence here in town. So, nope, I think it'd be great.
So, if there's the member Stan Gregor.
I guess just to speak to the second May meeting, I'm fine with the 21st. I don't know what the rest of the will of the assembly is. I'm just keeping that day.
Sure. Member Meacham?
I have no idea if I'll be here, but yeah. I'll do my best to attend.
Cool.
Okay, Steve, time for the manager's report. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The borough's new development code, we're going to delay the formal vote by the assembly on that rather than kind of rushing through the final stage. Our borough attorney has it and is converting the code into an ordinance format. And she's trying to make sure that all of the pieces of that as it relates to other ordinances are well coordinated and make sense. And it's taking longer than we thought. So what we're going to try to do is get an updated version out for the assembly and the public sometime in early summer, and then just hold the vote until everybody's back after the fishing season to have it voted on in the fall. So that it's an important enough thing, it'd be nice to have the full assembly here when you go to weigh in on that. Planning for the household hazardous waste event, which is going to be held in June. Date is to be decided, but will either be the first or second weekend of that month. Waste management will be making a scrap metal trip to Petersburg in May, If all goes according to plan, they should begin mobilizing in Petersburg on May 10th and be finishing up on May 22nd, pulling all the metal out of here. For safety reasons, there will be no salvaging permitted in the landfill while Waste Management is on site. We're starting to see kind of the thing that Carl warned us about a while back, and Chris is tracking really well, which is that recycling commodity prices are down sharply over the last few months. This may be a short-term issue or a longer-term trend. We don't know at the moment, and even the big companies like Waste Management can't really tell us. A continuing drop in the commodity prices may result in changes to the recycling program in the future. We're trying to keep an eye on it, and we'll provide updates as more information becomes available. The library has hired a graduate student as an intern this summer. This position is paid for by the Alaska State Library. Karen Hofstede has generously donated use of her apartment, and so thank her for that. The intern will work on a special project in our children's area. The library storyteller poll is also progressing on schedule. Again, this was paid through donations and grant funds. Updates are posted to the library's Facebook page. We are currently asking for donations from the community for the Summer Reading Challenge at the library. The program has expanded far beyond reading, so this year the program will be renamed the Summer Science, Technology, Reading, Engineering, Art, and Math, as it better describes the variety of activities in the program. We did have 109 property assessment appeals from 50 different appellants. All appeals were resolved prior to the Board of Equalization. Final assessment roll will be presented at the May 7th assembly meeting. There will be a budget work session on April 20th at 3 p.m. in the assembly chambers, just as a reminder. We did have an outage out the road a little bit. The distribution circuit that ties the Blind Slough Hydro to town had an outage on Wednesday of last week. An old rotten treetop came down and broke off the top of a pole. To get the power restored, the line crew, with the help of the mechanic, electrician, and meter reader acting as a groundman, had to fill in a ditch to allow access to the line, set a new pole and cross arm, transfer the primary conductors to the new pole, and replace a transformer that was destroyed by the falling tree. So a lot of work in a short amount of time, and they did a really good job. The power and light remodel project is coming together. Final interior touches and cleaning to the upstairs should be complete by this week, followed closely by cleaning of the downstairs areas. The last work to be completed will be the exterior light installations, repairs to the sidewalks, and installing of gutters and downspouts. Staff is planning to start moving larger items into the remodeled space by the last week of this month, with final moving take place around the first week in May. The Blind Slough Hydro Evaluation Project is ongoing. McMillan Jacobs continues to request various information about the facility, which we research and pull for them. Current planning has the engineers coming back in mid to late May to perform an inspection on the penstock and the dam. We are watching the level at Crystal Lake. The colder temperatures and lack of rainfall did drain it lower than we like. We're slowly reducing our output from the hydro to preserve as much water as possible so we can keep the water requirements up for the hatchery. As Carl said, we need a rain cloud to kind of land over Crystal Lake and stay there for a couple of weeks. Sorry. Thanks to the line crew, successfully replaced the banner pole adjacent to the police department, one kind of behind me. It's been broken for a while and starting to get a lean that we were not comfortable with. So that has been replaced and should be able to have our flags up for Mayfest. Congratulations to the two emergency trauma technicians who completed recertification, also the four community members who completed the condensed version of the Firefighter 1 class. We continue to have wait lists at both elderly housing and assisted living. We have an assisted living licensing inspection on June 18th to the 19th, which we're preparing for. Friends of the Park and Recreation Group had their second meeting on April 2nd. They have decided to move forward with establishing a nonprofit. We're all very excited about it. If there's anyone interested in joining their group, their next meeting will be Wednesday, April 18th at the Community Center. Park Cleanup Day, Saturday, April 21st. They're meeting at the ball fields. Come join Petersburg Little League and Parks and Rec to open up the ball fields and clean trails. It'll be a fun day with prizes for teams or community members and a barbecue. We continue to look for lifeguards. We're looking for water-savvy teens and adults who are interested in taking a lifeguarding class to work for the community center pool. Seeking year-round and summer workers. If interested, please email or call Chandra Thornburg at cthornburg@petersburgak.gov. We are working on a cleaning contract with Precision Cleaning to have a better overall approach to the cleaning of the community center. We've been using them on a temporary limited basis, but the facility definitely needs some more help. It's a contract that will be coming to Debbie and my desk soon. Take a look at. The new lighting system for the pool is set to be installed the last week of May. Pre-construction meeting is set on April 24th to discuss the logistics. We did have an unfortunate event. We had a break-in up at the cemetery last week, 10 days. Following items were stolen: a generator, two large metal gas cans, screwdriver, and some personal items of Jesse's. Officer Tate is involved in the investigation, and we thank him for looking into that for us. April 8th, we're a little bit late on this, but the way the meetings flow didn't work out for us, but that began the National Telecommunicator Appreciation Week, which is basically our dispatchers. We'd like to give a special thanks to those who are more often the first point of contact for the public during an emergency and who work tirelessly behind the scenes to keep firefighters, EMS, and the police officers up to date and safe. Thank them very much for doing what they do, and it's much appreciated. And glad they had a week.
Thank you.
That's it.
Any questions of the manager, of Member Mucci?
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hey, can somebody describe to me what household hazardous waste items are acceptable to take to the dump?
Well, it's typically stuff that, batteries, poisons, things like that, you can't put in the regular waste stream. We'll be sending out an announcement. I think we usually put an ad in the paper, don't we? That'll tell folks exactly what is allowed and what is not allowed.
Yep.
With some details.
Member Stanton Greger.
Question for you, Steve, talking about park cleanup day on the 21st. I've had several people in the community ask me this, so no time like the present. At the ball field, whose responsibility is the playground? Is that Burroughs or Little League's?
I believe that is the Burroughs. When we signed the contract with Little League, it was for the fields themselves, the maintenance of those fields, and the prep for games, as well as operation of the snack bar and stuff. The playground, I believe, is still on our list to do.
Excellent. I'll follow up with you sometime about that. Thank you.
Okay. Uh-huh.
That's right.
Any other questions? Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a question and a comment. Can you tell me, somebody tell me where we are in the police chief hiring process?
I can do that.
Thank you.
We have 19 applications at this point. We had one who is withdrew due to the salary. Even at our highest end that we put in the ad, we put in $80,000 to $95,000. That was not enough for them to be interested in the job. Basically, our deadline is this coming Friday. Our plan is to kind of review all of those resumes first part of next week, for just to make sure that are there, kind of two piles. Do their qualifications meet the minimum requirement on the job description, and those that don't? Those that do will be sent a list of written questions that we will ask them to respond to. We'll give them about 4 or 5 days to respond to those. And then when those come back, we're going to hope to be able to schedule a meeting with the Public Safety Advisory Board so they can look at the answers to the questions and the resumes and kind of decide from that group which ones they think are worth moving forward in the process. So it'll be a combination of them and then in my review as well. At that point, we'll do social media checks and then possibly telephone interviews. We have laid out I haven't signed it yet, but we have a contract that with Russell Investigations, who does this all over Alaska, too. When we get down to the finalist level, they can do full-grown background checks and stuff on the police camp, the finalists. It's a way to save money. I'm not going to do it on everybody. We'll do it on the those people we get that we decide to bring up here. So still ways out, but we're getting a lot closer. Again, the deadline is Friday, and we got a lot of folks to look through.
Yeah, and the other thing, I was over in Sitka doing herring work over the last couple of weeks, and I had a chance to stop in and talk to Tommy Joseph and see the story poll that's coming together that he's putting together, and it's going to be really interesting.
For our?
Yeah, for the library.
Yeah, I should have said that. It was Tommy Joseph that's doing it for
him. It's pretty cool. It's going to be a totem with popular literature figures on it that have Native influences turned into them. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it turns out. It's going to be really cool. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other questions of the manager? I have one of on your report you talked about all the metal, scrap metal from the garbage dump being hauled on May 10th to the 22nd. Is that all going to be hauled on the bypass road like usual, so it won't affect any traffic for the bypass weekend?
That's the plan. It'll Perfect. Be all on the backside of town. Won't have to go through the festival.
All right. Okay. There's no other questions. We'll move to the next item on the agenda. It's unfinished business. First item there is there's an ordinance for second reading. And it's ordinance 2018-11, an ordinance for the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2018 budget for known changes. I'll entertain a motion to adopt that ordinance in its second reading.
So move. Second.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Morrell. And this is just to approve some expenditures, and if I understand it right, we already voted to transfer the money from the electrical fund, correct? $180,000 for the Crystal Lake?
Correct.
So is there any other discussion on this? Just for the people listening, it's also to accept Secure Rural Schools funding this year, and that is for the school part of it. It's $466,527. And the portion of Secure Rural Schools funds for road revenue is $82,328,000. So that was a pleasant surprise to have that go through Congress. Is there any other discussion on this? I have one other question. The $15,000, and Chris or Carl, I'm sure you could answer this, that's coming from the wastewater fund?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. Would come from the wastewater reserves.
Okay, perfect. No other questions for me. No other questions. The clerk, call the roll.
Nancy?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yeah.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Ordinance 2018-11, an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2018 budget passes in its second reading unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 18-152, Petersburg Borough Municipal Entitlement Land Selection. I would entertain a motion to approve this letter be sent to DNR.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Morrell. And I was wondering if possibly this should also be sent to Senator Stedman and Representative Christ Tompkins' offices. That wasn't on there, but I mean, they're fairly up to speed on what's going on. This for the people listening, there's been a confusion on the maps we're supposed to use for selecting our land, and haven't been getting a very good response from DNR. And like I spoke earlier in the mayor's report, if Randy Ruero from Senator Stedman's office thinks it's necessary for Liz Cabrera to travel to Juneau and actually sit down with them and have the director from Anchorage call in, that might be to our benefit. The last email that Liz got from them, they actually said we have till December sometime of 2018 to make up our mind. And and it's not our responsibility to come up with the right, or their responsibility to provide the right maps. It's up to us. So it's kind of confusing since it's been passed by the legislature last year to convey the land. Anyways, so everybody's read the letter, I'm sure, so without me blabbing along anymore, I'll Clerk call a roll if there's no other discussion on it. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So do we need to send somebody up to Juneau to sort this out?
Possibly. This letter is going to cause a reaction.
Yep.
You know, the version that Liz, and primarily Liz, but, you know, I jumped into was even stronger, more strongly worded than this one, and calmer heads prevailed, and we toned it down a bit and stuff. That tells you something. We want this letter to go to Mr. Goodrum. We want him to, you know, get back to us. Our hope is that we're just dealing with some miscommunication, that they don't understand what our problem is, and that may be very well best handled face-to-face mm-hmm. rather than exchanging emails and telephone calls. You know, Liz is really doing a great job on trying to keep track of all this. You know, every time we turn around, it's somebody different from DNR kind of wading into it, so it's making it harder. So, I mean, at this point, we'll find the money, you know, if we have to, and we're going to kind of go with them getting this letter, getting a response, and then working through our lobbyist as well as Randy Rero and representatives from JKT's office and finding out, hey, you know, can we go? Is that going to be a worthwhile meeting to have? Are they willing to talk to us? And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I think it'd be great to have in your back pocket that if we need to send Liz up there, I think. Yeah, we should do that.
That was on the recommendation of Randy Rero. So he's been on top of this ever since we started having an issue.
Yep, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other discussion on the letter to DNR? Clerk, call the roll, please.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Okay, that approval of sending the letter passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is item 15, excuse me, which is new business. And this is an ordinance, and it's 2018-12, an ordinance amending and updating Title 16 of the Municipal Code, Chapter 16.04, entitled Definitions, 16.12, entitled Acquisition and Disposal of Borough-Owned Lands, and 16.16, entitled Tidelands, adding provisions for land exchange and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Mucci. Discussion.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah, for the folks at home, could we get just a brief description of what this is from the city clerk?
Sure. Basically, we had a few sections of Title 16, which is, I'm trying to think of, what is Title 16 called? It's our borough-owned land, basically. We had a few that hadn't been transferred over to borough code yet, and we had the issue of a possible land trade come up. There was nothing in code about land trade, so we thought it was perfect time to go ahead and take all of Title 16, rewrite it, and get the land trade language in there.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Member Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Something I like about this ordinance, like I know it's been talked a lot about the current land swap that is going on, but that one aside, I like getting this on the book so that anytime in the future, if we want to be swapping land with a private person, business, government agency, we won't have to create an ordinance to do it. It'll kind of streamline future processes. So besides also just cleaning up borough language, I'll be voting for this for that reason.
Any other discussion? I feel the same way on this ordinance as Member Stanton Greger. It'd be nice to have on the books. Also part of the language that's going to be in it is you could convey land to people interested in coming to town to create businesses or jobs, and even at a reduced value under appraised value. So it might be an incentive to encourage businesses to move to Petersburg. So I'll be in favor of this as well. Any other discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt? Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2018-12 passes unanimously in its first reading. Next item on the agenda is item 18-144, item B, request from RPM Holdings for assembly approval to submit an application to the Planning Commission for a right-of-way on Government Lot 10 on Mitkoff Highway near the cemetery, basically the south end of the driveway. I'd entertain a motion to approve giving them permission to submit an application to Planning and Zoning.
So moved.
Motion has been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Strand, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Member Mucci.
So this is a proposed subdivision that's going to go kind of up the road next to the cemetery. And so that the owners of this property can access their property to put a subdivision in. Is that correct?
Carl can explain it, but I believe that's the understanding. It's access through the driveway to get up to their property.
Yep.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, the proposal is not to use any of the current cemetery property. There's a lot next to that property. Yep. That will provide access, and that is a borough-owned lot. So the proposal from the development group is to develop a right-of-way in that lot so they can access their property, and they will have to install that road access to borough standards, and that will also be the corridor for utilities, underground utilities, to be brought to their subdivision.
And this would come at no cost to the borough. It's just giving them an easement through the borough land to get to theirs, right?
That's our understanding.
Yeah. Okay. So I find it. Oh, Member Castro.
Yes. Yeah, so this is going to be an actual borough road. It wouldn't be built to the standard of a driveway of sorts. This will be.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to serve the potential for a pretty sizable subdivision exists, so it needs to be built correctly.
Member Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was a little bit confused by this process, the fact they have to, you know, request permission to apply. It seems kind of a backwards deal. I mean, I'm obviously going to be voting for this for a couple of reasons. One, I hope they have success with this subdivision and it works out. And two, even if I didn't, they'd still have a right to apply and go through the process. So it seems like a no-brainer to me. Thanks.
Any other comments? Member Strand?
Just to clarify for myself, we're granting the right-of-way, but they have to build to borough specifications, engineering specifications. Okay.
Right. Yeah, I think what we're doing tonight is just giving them a permission to apply to planning and zoning to,
correct.
To do that.
To do that. So it's kind of interesting. So we'll see how the process unfolds from here. First time I've experienced this in 10 years. But any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Okay. RPM has permission to ask permission to do this or whatever. So item C, 18-147, Upper Dam Spillway Rehabilitation Project, PND Professional Services Contract Amendment. But entertain a motion to approve this amendment as submitted by Utility Director Hagerman.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Mucci. Any discussion?
Mayor?
Member Castro.
Yeah, actually, I was wondering about the lake. It looks like you found some spalling on the lake side of the dam. I was wondering how far you're going to have to draw down the lake in order to be able to make those repairs.
Actually, that's a great question. Through the mayor, the fishing game permit that allows us to operate that, and one of the permits that involved with operation of the dam, fishing game doesn't like us to draw the lake all the way down. So we're looking at hopefully drawing it down 5, 6, 7 feet in order for the contractor to be able to access that part of the spillway. And be able to work off some planking or something like that. But we will not be draining the entire reservoir.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so I see this additional increase for professional services contract by P&D will be a total of $36,616, just for the record, for a total contract cost of $92,706. So how did they discover this new Spalding, Carl?
It was the initial focus of the design was pretty much all on the spillway side of it, where the water's cascading over the front of the dam. And when that's happening, the reservoir is full. And so it's really hard to see, you know, the damage that's been done on the backside, which is where this is. It's on the lakeside. But we did draw the lake down to actually work on a bypass screen. And our staff noticed that, oh, we've got a problem here. We better address this while we can. PNND wasn't even aware of it until we found it as a result of this other maintenance activity that we had at the dam.
Well, better found now than indeed. I had one other question. In your memo, you mentioned hiring Mr. Susort to do the inspection work. How lengthy is this job? Do you have any idea what the inspection cost will be?
You do. It's the inspection cost will be right around $20,000. The construction period will be 2 to 3 months, hopefully 2 months at the on the outside, or the long. The contractor is going to probably start as soon as they can in May to get going on this work, and they have to be done in July. So it's a pretty short-term contract. So PNND did actually provide a cost for them to bring an inspector to town to watch this project, and we decided to go with the local. It's actually saving quite a bit of money over the initial proposal by PNND.
Or I would imagine it would. That was just kind of curious. Thank you. Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So is, through Carl, I guess, is that $20,000 in addition to the $92,000, or is that included in the $92,000?
It is. It's in addition to the $92,000.
Okay.
And it's not part of the PNND contract. The borough would be hiring the inspector directly.
Will that need to come before us again for approval, or?
That amount of money, the manager can approve.
So, yeah. So, I think we need to have someone watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other discussion on this amendment to the P&D professional services contract for the spillway? All right, will the clerk call the roll, please?
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, next item is D under new business, and I guess to get the motion on the floor, I'll entertain a motion to solicit an assembly member that would like to assist Mayor Jensen with Manager Giesbrecht's performance evaluation.
So moved.
Second. Okay, there's been a motion made and a second to see who on the assembly would like to participate in the annual performance evaluation process for the borough manager, and that provides in that process the mayor and an additional assembly member to hold a conference with the manager to review composite evaluations derived from the combination of each department head's evaluation and each assembly member's evaluation of the manager. Clerk Thompson requests the additional assembly member be selected and a date be chosen for the evaluation conference. And as of today, I believe all of the evaluations are in the clerk's possession. So, anybody interested?
How about
Member Mucci or Member Strand?
Either way, I'm interested. If Nancy would like to do it, that's fine too.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
So now we just need to come up with a date. How long, Debbie, is it going to take you to go through the evaluations and summarize them?
I can have it done by the end of this week.
Okay. Then your schedule, Member Mucci, are you traveling for?
I'm traveling next week, but Mr. Mayor, I'm traveling next week, but electronically I could get them. And a question I have is, will we be looking at all of the evaluations
No.
Summaries.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll take all department head evaluations and make a composite evaluation from them so that you basically don't know who says what. And then I do the same thing with all the assembly evaluations, make a composite eval. So then you take those two composite evals and the manager's self-eval, and you, with those three evals, you guys sit down and have a conference and make any changes or whatever you feel is necessary to the evaluations. Then you give me whatever you've decided together, and I make one evaluation from those three.
Yep. And then we take it to an executive session unless the manager would like to have it in public at a meeting at the time. Should be determined.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Correct.
Yeah, I would probably be back in town sometime around the 30th or 31st. So we could, if we had electronic copies of that stuff, I could review them while I'm gone and be ready for some meeting sometime right after the 1st of.
Yeah, and I'm not going anywhere until mid-June, unless I make a quick trip to Juneau.
So does that work for you guys? Do you want me to try to step it up so that we can do it before he leaves town, or should we go ahead and stick with this?
No, after. If he did, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Ms. Mary. Yeah, after be best.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't see a big rush. Okay, so that item has been handled. Communications. Is there any communications? Other than the one that we got today from Jennifer Gibbons, I have none. So, except for there is a few, I guess, there's been a couple emails, texts, phone calls back and forth about people coming to Mayfest. The ambassador and honorary consul will be here, and ambassador's assistant, Anki, and sounds like the governor is interested in coming, and possibly Representative Christ Tompkins, Senator Stedman, and a few other folks from the legislature, so might be busy. It's the only communications I have. Next item on the agenda is assembly discussion items. Is there any recognitions?
Yes, ma'am.
Member Mucci.
I would just like to congratulate Officer Randy Holmgren for getting accepted to the FBI Academy. I think that's kind of a really big deal for a small town like us. I think it's just a great deal. I mean, I think it's just, please pass on my congratulations to him and the police department. It's great.
It sounds like there's not very many people over the country that get accepted.
Yeah.
I can't remember the number, but
that's awesome.
Pretty big honor.
That's awesome.
Two in our state, so.
Yeah, not very many. Okay.
And Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Just the other discussion item. I don't know if this is the time, but, I have been asked. I know it's not a real big thing, but regarding the playground equipment up at the Clinkett Haida subdivision, people want to use it. And I'm just trying to sort out if the equipment is on the right piece of property or the wrong piece of property, and if the equipment is below standards or above standards. And I'd kind of like to see it kind of be resolved, because my phone rings often, and it'd be nice.
I can speak to it.
Yes, Steve.
Okay. The playground equipment is, in fact, on the wrong lot.
Okay.
That was discovered 6 or 7 years ago. No one really had a big issue with it, but it is on a lot owned by Clinkett Haida, not on a lot owned by the borough. That's not why the playground is not operational. That's just a side issue. We had a playground inspection going on a year now that took a look at all of our playgrounds, and that one in particular, they asked us to shut it down immediately. Now, there's some things, for example, they didn't like it being that close to Muskeg. I found that somewhat interesting, but needless to say, they were asking, they wanted a fence built around the playground because of that. There was also pieces and parts of the equipment itself that were not in good shape, and so based on all that, we shut it down, put tape up and said, please don't use it until further notice. Now, to me, that's probably a pretty good opportunity to maybe put it back on the right lot, since we're going to have to remove all that stuff and do something with it. We haven't got there because many groups keep stating they would like to help with that process so that the playground can stay there. No one has any money, but everybody wants it to remain. I'm kind of in a mode of almost the exact opposite, which is Boy, I'll tell you, it's an expensive thing to rebuild a playground. We've not budgeted for that, and it's on the wrong lot anyway. So I've asked Chandra to kind of evaluate, you know, is it time, should we remove that playground altogether? And then if some point we have money in the future, we can put it back and put it back on a lot owned by the borough. But for the moment, it's on the list to evaluate, should we get it out of there and get the equipment out of there so that people stop trying to use it when we know it's dangerous.
So, has there been any discussion about the lot that it's on now, if I understand, belongs to Clinkett Haida? Is there any desire to get it transferred or dedicated to the borough, given to the borough?
I have not heard that conversation. Oh, I mean, sure. I'm not sure. It may have come up, but it hasn't been brought to me. It's basically, this is, I guess, a long-standing problem that no one really noticed, and then it was like, oops, and it's been that way for a very long time. I mean, it predates my employment with the borough, if that gives you some idea.
Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, thank you, Steve. You know, I have talked to PIA and reached out to Clinkett and Haida a couple times, and it sounds like there's some interest in making it happen. And it just seems like we need to reach out from either the Parks and Rec Department or yourself, just to see how we can make this go. I mean, they have the money and the resources to make it happen. It's just the dialogue needs to happen a little bit more.
We can try again. Yep. I spoke to members of PIA a while ago, and they said they were looking into it, and that was the last I'd heard.
Yep.
But they had some changes at their board level, and that may be part of it.
Sure.
Clinkett Haida, I have not spoken to related to this. We actually had a conversation with them on you know, the project itself and how well it went, and could we do another one like that someday potentially. But the playground was not part of that conversation. I'm not exactly sure who at Clinkett Haida handles that, but we can try to find out. In some ways, Chandra was trying to get help from her friends of Parks and Rec is part of that conversation, because, and maybe some of the same people have spoken to you that are very interested in that park staying there, but kind of the same issue, which is everybody wants it there, but there's no money at this point. And, you know, so again, like I said earlier, it's one of those things where, boy, I'll tell you, it looks like it's an awful easy or maybe a convenient time to put it on the right lot, which means removing it from the wrong one. And then when we have the money, putting it back. But we'll see what happens.
Reach out and find out if there's, you know, what the newest discussion is. We can
find out.
Thanks for bringing that up. Member Castro and then Nancy.
Steve, can you repeat, what was the organization you said that had done that, performed that safety analysis?
You know, I don't actually have the name of them. It was they were coming to town to do some other things and said, hey, while we're here, you know, we'd like to look at your playgrounds. So we said, sure. And it was kind of like, oops, maybe we should have not. But reality is we want to know if there's safety problems. You know, we have asked APEI, who is our insurance broker, in a sense, not broker, carrier, I guess is a better word. And they've looked at pictures of it. And they agreed with the people who came through town. Hmm. So, again, the muskeg thing, I'm not sure how to fix. I mean, their answer to fixing that was a fairly substantial fence separating the playground from the muskeg that is behind the playground. And, again, it makes it a lot more expensive, let alone the equipment itself. So okay. We'll see what happens.
So they don't necessarily have the authority to dictate their findings to us, but
they do not.
Okay,
but it's a concern. I mean, I will ignore insurance people and liability people at my own risk, and I mean, it's not something I want to do frequently.
Of course.
Member Strand, did you have a comment?
I agree that this might be the perfect project for the Friends of the Parks and Recreation to start on, and perhaps they can think of ways to raise some money. Every little bit helps.
That's a good option. Member Stanton Greger?
Yeah, just for those listening at home, I can't help myself. That fence argument is one of the most ridiculous things I've heard in a long, long time.
It is pretty amazing, yes.
No, patently ridiculous. I completely disagree with that. I needed to get that set up.
No argument.
Thank you.
Do not step off the road. There's muskeg.
Indeed.
Yeah, no. I think we're aware of that. Anyway, thanks for bringing that up, Member Mucci. The next item on the agenda under Assembly Discussion Items is B, Timber Sales and Secure Rural School Payments. There's been a draft resolution, and it's been modified, and I think four people spoke in favor of this resolution moving forward. Putting it on the next agenda for action. Is there any other discussion?
I'll let him go first. That's cool.
Did Jeff?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So are you looking for a motion to bring this up as a discussion item now, or just to move it to the next agenda?
I don't think we could take action on it tonight because it's under assembly discussion, so it's not in the proper place.
Yep. So, Mr. Mayor, you know, whether this gets brought up at a later meeting or not, I am going to have a hard time supporting this unless I can sort out the 5 or 6 whereases, if they're factual. They're written down here, but, you know, it's going to take me a while to sort out whether or not all the whereases are factual. And I can't vote to pass a resolution unless I'm comfortable that everything that's on here is factual. So I will need some time to for myself to sort this stuff out. Thank you.
Yep. Any other discussion? Member Stanton Greger?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, those in the audience here, I've been wrestling through information for the better part of the last 2 weeks, trying to, this is an area where it's not my expertise, as it is some of the people who are speaking tonight, try to sort through it. What I'm understanding here on that, I like this revised resolution more. What I like is it draws straight from the Washington Office Activity Review. I guess I'll echo what Member Mucci was saying, is this is one that's newer to me to sift through compared to the resolution. But I like what person in the audience, Eric Lee, said earlier. And right now, looking at this, I see no reason why these two things don't jive, and that means the ordinance and the thing from the Washington Office Activity Review, to ask. I thought Mr. Lee raised a really prudent question. If we're losing money for Petersburg, not through Secure Rural Schools, that was a place I was having a hard time wrapping my brain around, but it's in terms of the contract itself, that does impact Petersburg. It does. I don't necessarily know how much, but it's worth, at this point, I can't see why it wouldn't be worth asking. I'm going to give this some more thought and hopefully speak with the parties who are here tonight, and I'll most likely be putting this on the next agenda. But like Jeff said, I need to go over a little more of this at this point. Thanks.
Any other member Castro?
Yeah, you know, I liked what Bill said also, you know, about not trying to find cause or any blame in trying to point any fingers at anybody in particular, but more about like what has been accomplished or what hasn't been, you know, in regards to these stewardship projects. Like he had mentioned, there's 38 red pipes that could have been fixed on Tonka. You know, I wasn't in a position to be able to have any sort of authority on that contract, but I'm aware of the road system and everything, so I'm going to look into that. I'm curious as to, you know, myself, just personal curiosity.
Any other discussion? So I guess at this point it'll be up to an assembly member or someone from the administration to ask to have this on our next agenda or a future agenda.
Correct.
To be honest with you, I haven't read all of these documents. The one's 20 years old and just received it today. And what was written by Bill Trimbley, he wanted to put it in place of the fourth, whereas it was taken out today by a member or by Dave Beebe. So right now I couldn't vote to support sending this resolution to support this resolution. Maybe if there was some more documentation backing up the claims and the whereases, I'd be able to, but at this point, I can't. And there's not going to be any discussion back and forth between the audience and the assembly during this assembly discussion. Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I think it'd be important to, I mean, I don't know what the protocol is here, but to at least reach out to the Forest Service locally and try and get some. You know, we've got a couple folks who are interested in passing this resolution, and it might behoove us to kind of have some Forest Service folks kind of give us their opinion on some of the stuff that's going on in this resolution. I'm going to be looking for some factual information on whether or not this information is true, and maybe a Forest Service spokesman or somebody from the Forest Service might be able to shed some light on this for me, if nobody else.
Maybe that would be a good approach if this resolution moves forward onto a future agenda to ask someone from the, ask the District Ranger Zimmerman if someone from the Forest Service could give us their explanation. It doesn't sound like they've been very good at following up, but we'll see. Member Stanton Gregory.
Just one more thing. This the Washington Office of Activity Review, like that is government-issued review. Okay, but, not splitting hairs with you on factual, but it is a government-issued report. But I'm still going to dig around more, too. It wasn't just created out of thin air by the members in the audience tonight. It does come from some solid footing. It's food for thought.
Any other discussion? And I guess we'll see where it goes from here. Like I said, it'll be up to assembly member to ask to have it on the agenda, and then we'll have it as an action item if that's what takes place. So the next item on the agenda is we're going to be entertain a motion to go into an executive session, and the reason for the executive session will have to be stated in the motion, and to discuss the status and strategy with respect to the collective bargaining negotiations with both the Petersburg Municipal Employees Association and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 1547.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made to go into executive session. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we'll adjourn for 5 minutes, clear the room, and then we will be in executive session.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.